Imagine a wintry December afternoon, 2 days before Christmas in Pittsburgh. 22 guys line up on opposing sides of the line of scrimmage. There are 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter. The ball is hiked, helmets collide, the defense presses in for a sack, and an exhausted quarterback passes a cold and weathered football. The pass flies through the air, passes through the hands of the receiver, hits the helmet of the safety, and is loose. Before the ball hits the ground and the pass is called incomplete, the fullback scoops up the ball and scores an impossible touchdown to win the game. Unfortunately, this does not describe the Texans or the Cougars. But it is the story of the immaculate reception at the AFC divisional playoff game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Oakland Raiders at Three Rivers Stadium on December 23rd, 1972. Last Wednesday, while feeding our son William, I was reminded of this miraculous and impossible play involving Terry Bradshaw, John Fuquay, Jack Tatum, and Franco Harris. In football, it's sometimes the ball has to bounce off a couple of guys in order to achieve something miraculous, something impossible. Our mission is to make the impossible possible. So how do we do this? We follow Jesus' commission, choose hope, lovingly serve others, and selflessly undertake a mission that will remain unfinished. We are all sent to continue an unfinished mission. And as sent people, we are called, charged, and encouraged to make disciples. Throughout this sermon series, in the context of the Great Commission, our church has been focused on missions. We have seen videos and heard how missions in Nepal, Burma, Pakistan, the Dominican Republic, and Cuba are accomplishing the impossible. We have heard how Neighbors in Action, Port Houston, Lifeline, and our refugee ministry are giving people hope. We have seen and heard about the impact that the Harvey House team has had on our community. We have heard from missionaries who selflessly labor for the gospel in Sudan. And we have witnessed how missional work has affected people at home, abroad, and right here in this sanctuary. How has our focus on missions affected you? Do you think that we can accomplish the impossible? I certainly do. Several months ago, while meeting with some of our company's distributors from China, they told me that they were Christian and that one of them was a pastor from a house church of 800 people. Astonished by this figure, I was floored by what came next. They said that over 109,000 people are saying yes to Christ each year in their province. And on average, about 300 people hear the gospel for the first time and say yes on a daily basis. Each week, new churches form, and as soon as the doors open, the seats are filled with new first-generation Christians. Many have never stepped inside of a church because not so long ago, being a Christian in China wasn't safe. In the late 1960s, Jiang Qu, the powerful wife of Mao Zedong, brashly announced that she would destroy Christianity in China in 3 months. A systematic program to erase the name of Christ in China ensued. Mobs of people who had devoted their lives to Mao burned Bibles and hymnals. People, the police arrested church leaders and sentenced them to labor camps. Christians were forced to denounce Christ and vow loyalty to Mao. People who clung to their faith were publicly humiliated or beaten to death. And Christians were shunned, forced out of their homes, and forced to live in the fields like animals. Flames of persecution spread across China, charring the spiritual landscape. And Mao's wife eventually announced that Christianity in China was finished. However, Mao and his wife did not win. Rather than destroying the Christian church in China, the persecution fortified it. Up from the ashes grew an emboldened Christian witness, and today, in a land where Bibles were virtually non-existent 40 years ago, Christian churches are sending missionaries to proclaim the gospel along the Silk Road, reaching Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists in China, the Middle East, Africa, India, and some are even crossing into North Korea. Talk about the football bouncing off a couple of guys before accomplishing the miraculous and the impossible. When it comes to accomplishing the impossible through missions, it is very important to pay close attention to what Jesus has called us to do in the Great Commission. And if we think that this is something that we can do on our own, we will go about it in the wrong way. But if we understand that Jesus has called us to the most audacious project ever given to humanity, a project so great that only He can accomplish it, and yet He expects us to participate in that project, it reframes the way we view missions. Through the Great Commission, Jesus encourages us to view missions as part of our identity in Him. In doing so, He gives us His claim and His comfort. Jesus' claim is that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. And His comfort is that He is with us always to the end of the age. Jesus' claim and comfort is like a grace sandwich within the Great Commission. It begins with the claim that all authority has been given to Him, and it ends with the promise that He will be with us always. The disciples needed that promise. They needed that comfort because there was only a handful of them. Now, I don't know how many people were alive when they were alive, but the odds of making disciples of all nations are a little better today. And although there are more Christians alive than ever before, the Great Commission is still pretty daunting, isn't it? How many Christians are there in the United States? What about the rest of the world? How many people in the world have not confessed the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Like the disciples in Jesus' day, we need some encouragement to reach the 4.7 billion non-Christians in the world. So Jesus says, here's your encouragement. All authority has been given to me, and I am with you. Do you realize how freeing that is? This means that no power on the planet can tell us you can't come here and worship and talk about Jesus. Just look at the China example. Jesus says to us, I know that I am asking you to do something that is humanly impossible. But don't worry about it. I'm with you and I've got your back. So go join me in making disciples of all nations. This is the way we need to understand the Great Commission. Jesus is inviting us to join Him in His great work of bringing the nations into the glory of His love and grace. We need to remember that. We need that kind of encouragement Because it is daunting when you think of the audacity of the task before us. If you were like me, the audacity of this task can be overwhelming. When I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Cuba last year with our church, I made every excuse possible, from saving money and resources to not being able to take off work for 2 weeks. But the truth is, part of me didn't think I could take on the task of mission work, that I could take on the task of sharing the gospel with people who may not have heard it. And despite continual efforts to the contrary from Christian Jones and others, I felt that Christ was not calling me to undertake this audacious task of going on a mission trip to the country of my ancestors. It is important for us to realize the audacity of Christ's mission. We're going to every nation. We're to see men and women and boys and girls from all those tribes and tongues and peoples coming to Jesus Christ and becoming his disciples. That is something completely beyond our competence to do. And yet God's grace manifests itself when Jesus says, "The authority is mine, my presence is yours. Now go." If we don't realize that God's grace undergirds the work of missions, then we will miss the point that missions is a call to evangelism. It is one thing to evangelize and get somebody to sign a card, prayer, or join a church. It is another to make a disciple of Jesus Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do the latter, and anyone with a little training can do the former. God does not call us to only do the former. He calls us to do the latter. If we're going to make disciples, then we have to be totally dependent on Him. And that is why Jesus says, "I am with you. You must depend on me to do what I am calling you to do." Now that is the basis of missions. And that is how we can make the impossible possible. Making the impossible possible requires us to be faithful, to lean in, and to rely upon Jesus. We can be faithful in going to all the nations and sharing the gospel, but we must depend upon the Holy Spirit to make disciples. We do not want people to just raise their hands. We do not want people to just come forward. We do not want people to simply sign cards. We want to see lives radically transformed for Christ. We want to see people that love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to see people who are ready to live for Christ. We want to see people who are consumed by hope in God. And we cannot do that. Only God can. So what are we supposed to do? Jesus came from heaven to be with us. He did not send us a text, email, or video. He came here. He rolled up his sleeves. He told us and he showed us what it is to be a disciple. And that is how he made disciples. He showed them how a disciple lives, and he taught them how a disciple lives. And this is how we make disciples. We go, we show them what a disciple is, then we tell them what a disciple is. We go, we show, we tell. In the context of going, showing, and telling, sometimes we think that being faithful to the Great Commission means leaving where we are and going somewhere else. While some are called to faraway places like China, Pakistan, Sudan, and Cuba, some of us are called to bring the good news of the gospel to people in our city, neighborhoods, offices, communities, and families. The entire world is our mission field, and we do not need to go very far to find it. And it can be as close as the house next door or the office down the hall. We all have a place to go, and for some of us, that place may be already where we are. So let's take a moment to contemplate the place that God is sending us. Be encouraged that Christ is with us. Leave where we are and go, bringing the good news of the gospel to our families, friends, co-workers, and to the ends of the earth. Bringing the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth is our purpose. We are to go wherever God sends us and share His love, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. We are to tell them what Christ did for us, what He did for them, and how He died to save us all. We are to take His healing and give it away. We are to serve and feed others. We are to clothe them and meet their needs. We are to love with the love that has been given to us. And in all of this, we are to support the cause and mission of Christ with our hearts, minds, time, resources, and treasure. Friends, this is what it takes to be faithful in fulfilling the Great Commission: being disciples, going, showing, and telling. Now, this may mean feeding the homeless or taking dinner to a neighbor who's recovering from cancer. It may mean reading the gospel to a newborn son or daughter. It may mean going on a mission trip. Or it may mean supporting the cause of Christ to give hope and make the impossible possible in places like Houston, Eagle Pass, Mexico, Cuba, Sudan, Pakistan, Nepal, and China, as His hands and feet, as members of First Methodist. Christ uses each of us, our time, our support, and our resources to make the impossible possible by partnering with Him, relying upon the Holy Spirit, leaning in to His encouragement, giving hope, and reflecting His light to a world who so desperately needs to know Him. So it's the fourth quarter. The ball has been snapped and the pass is in the air. Will we accept Christ's invitation to grab the ball, to partner with Him in advancing His kingdom, to join with Him in His unfinished mission of making disciples of all nations and making the impossible possible around the world and at home?